In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary to her kinswoman, Elizabeth, the day after having completed the octave of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. Having contemplated the precursor, we are presented today with this wonderful tableau of the meeting of Our Lady and Our Lord with Elizabeth and John the Baptist. Two of these figures will decrease in order that the two others may increase, but all of them are bound together first by their love of God and their willingness to do the things of God, and then each according to the design and the providence of Our Lord, and even more specifically, all of them united in love of our Lord and Savior, who is present in their midst. So much of our energy, so much of my energy in preaching, oftentimes is to draw the correlation and the relationship between the reality in which we find ourselves and what it is that Sacred Scripture is saying to us. But there is a place, and maybe it should even precede, if you will, practical application, for us to pause and simply contemplate the mystery. So in truth, as we contemplate the mystery of the visitation, in one sense, there is nothing immediately visibly applicable to our daily existences or how we might live in the world. We are presented with Our Lady, moving in haste, having herself received the message of the good news of her particular role, immediately does what is a response always in the presence of God, to go and to share that message with the whole world. That is precisely what she does. And in so doing, and indeed undertakes a very arduous and dangerous journey, clearly by Scripture's indication, without St. Joseph being with her, but she does this nonetheless. Confident in God, the one who has given her this good news, he will protect her, he will bring it to completion. And then Elizabeth and John the Baptist, they are prepared and ready to do whatever it is that God is asking them to do. And the precursor, even in the womb, is giving witness to the reality of our Lord present in his midst. And Our Lady testifies as to the glory of, St. Elizabeth testifies as to the glory of Our Lady and who she actually is. The mother of my Lord should come to me. We know by tradition that the little that we have of what we call the infancy narratives given in Matthew and Luke's Gospel were given to us begrudgingly by Our Lady. She never wanted any attention unto herself, only that the attention would be on the Lord. But the attention that is indeed given to her does indeed give us an insight into that reality of love. We know, after all, it was the power of her love that so motivated the second person of the Blessed Trinity, as St. Bernardine of Siena reminds us, to leap from heaven and make his dwelling in her womb. Her love, that gift that God bestowed upon her from her own immaculate conception, was so powerful, so radiant, that God himself was drawn to that which he had bestowed upon her, and drawn to her in such a way that he was willing to leave the dignity of heaven and take on the indignity of the human condition to dwell in the womb of Our Lady. But that love, we know, is never outdone. It never comes to an end. It continues to overflow, to press down. The measure, indeed, with which we are measured is measured back to us. The more we can love, the more love is intensified in us. And the greater we are able to manifest God's love, God pours out that love in us, and the world is indeed transformed. These gather together, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, Our Lady particularly, but even our Lord in his humility truly could not have understood or foreseen the ramifications of what it is that is transpiring. After all, Our Lady has come to this place hidden away after this long journey. Elizabeth is in hiding herself in advanced age, caring for the child that God has blessed her with. And our Lord and the beloved and St. John the Baptist are in the womb. And yet here they are. This perfect meeting, bound and held together in the mystery of love. And therein, brothers and sisters, may be simply the applicability to our own lived existences. It seems oftentimes, maybe my life is oftentimes on a warlike footing, I find myself engaged in a whole host of different battles on various fronts. I'm not a pugnacious person by nature, but I have become one by virtue of the world in which I find myself, both the world secularly, but also the ecclesial world in which we live. When one spends so much time at war, it's easy to forget why one goes to war, what the motivation for the war actually is, or what should rest on the other side should we be victorious. The truth is, we are victorious. God has conquered sin and death once and for all, and the gates of hell will not prevail against Holy Mother, the Church, regardless of what all of her people may attempt to do to destroy her and to bring her down. These are not words of pious platitude. It is actually the foundation of the truth that the Lord himself makes clear. The gates of hell will not prevail. And so what then is our disposition, in addition to the trust and confidence that those words should engender in us? It is to remember that we, like Our Lady, our Lord, like John the Baptist and Saint Elizabeth, should do all that we do and be motivated by love of God, complete and total. So that whatever the Lord asks of us, whatever role that we are called to play in the unfolding of salvation history, in God's divine providence, in our own salvation, in the salvation of those entrusted to our care, in the salvation of the whole world, whatever it is that God asks of us, that our response is immediate, total, and complete. And the response comes from a place and a posture of love, not fear, not doubt, not even a warlike visage where one prepares to do battle with the forces of evil. Indeed, there are forces of evil prowling about the world seeking the ruin of souls. And we need to do all that we can to stand against and to defeat those. But they are already defeated because of the work of our Lord. My task is to cooperate with him. And what motivates me is not anger or revenge or bitterness or hatred. What motivates me, what motivates us, is love. And maybe one more moment of reflection and applicability is to then to remind us as we move forward, as we continue to grow, that the things that we have had to deal with that have set us back, there may be more that will come, but we will always meet those headlong with confidence. Again, not a confidence in our natural abilities, not a confidence in those in charge of us doing the right thing, because more often than not, they do not do the right thing. Instead, our confidence will only and always be in the Lord. And it will be a heart full of love that will continue to move us forward. And one of the concrete ways, brothers and sisters, that we can manifest that love is to be forbearing, gracious, and forgiving to those who persecute us. To go out of our way to preach and proclaim the truth, especially to those who do not want to hear it. To risk life and limb to witness to the truths of Holy Mother Church, knowing that to put out into the deep, we run the risk of being rejected, mocked, and ridiculed by the world. But those things do not stem the energy, nor do they staunch our desire or quell our thirst for truth and justice, which are rooted in love. These are not easy things to accomplish, but nowhere in Scripture does the Lord tell us it would be easy. He himself mounts the cross as a clear exhortation and manifestation of all that will be required of those who follow after him. But as he himself did when he mounted that cross, as he did when he took flesh and chose to make his dwelling among us, becoming one with us in all things but sin, from first to last, always and in between, it was love, true, authentic love that motivated, that prompted, that gave him strength. So it is for Elizabeth and John the Baptist. So it is particularly for Our Lady, to whom we must have constant recourse. She herself reminding us of the significance of holding fast to the recitation of the rosary. But the Lord himself chose to have Our Lady in all of his intimate moments. Should we not then do precisely the same? And so when all is said and done, let's be very clear. We are here because we have been loved. And our desire is to share that love with those whom love us, those who hate us, but most especially to return this love to the one who has first loved us into existence. And then maybe in the fullness of time, the words of Our Lady truly can be ours. Although we pray these words each evening at Vespers, My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. We pray through the intercession of our Blessed Mother that she may present this petition to her Son, who will take it to the Father and grant it according to divine providence, that in the fullness of time we too will not only say these words in prayer, but let them be the very foundation of our relationship with God in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.